Thank you for being here tonight. Brother Rex is here, not feeling well, but he came in. And God bless him for being here tonight. And his dear wife's feeling some better. I sure appreciate all of you who have been here for every service. Thank you so much. That really does encourage an evangelist a lot when people do come back. And as I said, the pastor and his dear wife took us out to for a meal today. We were at the corner, whatever the name of that is. And there, we looked over and we saw a room full of older people. And they were having a reunion. And so the waitress came and we said something to her. Said, "Is that a reunion?" She said, "Yes, it's a class reunion." And now these people, they look like the Ancient of Days. They look so old. And so she said, "I'll find out what year it is." So she came back. These people graduated in 1955. So I got to figuring. I was born in 1954. I'm 68. So that was their 67th reunion. They'd been out of high school 67 years. So they had to all be in their 80s there. But I mean, there they were. It looked like they were laughing and talking and having a good time. And I thought they're doing pretty well. We were surprised how many of them there were, too, you know, to show up at a reunion like that. But it reminded me of a story I heard about a senior couple up in years. And, you know, when you get up in years, your memory is just not what it used to be. Does anybody know what I'm talking about there? I'm the tender age of 68, and mine's already beginning to fail me some. But this senior couple, they were having dinner at another couple's house. And after eating, the wives went into the kitchen. The husbands were sitting there at the table. And so one of the men said, "Last night we went out to a new restaurant, and it was really great. I would recommend it very highly." And the other man said, "What was the name of it?" And the guy, he thought. He just couldn't think of the name. He said, "What's the name of that flower that you give somebody, you know, on a special occasion? It's red and it's got thorns." And the guy said, "A rose?" He said, "Yeah, yeah." He said, then he turned toward the kitchen and he said, "Rose, what was the name of that restaurant that we went to?" Now that's getting bad. That is getting bad. All right, we're in Proverbs 15. Did I tell you what chapter? Proverbs 15. And let's stand together. And we'll read one verse. Proverbs 15 and verse number 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." How many of you believe that tonight? I believe it with all my heart. God sees everything. God sees everything. Father, I pray You'd bless the reading of Your Word. I pray You'd bless us tonight in the message, dear God. I pray You'd help me. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd help me not to say anything that is unnecessary. Lord, but don't let me leave out what You really want said here tonight. Lord, You know the needs of every person. And I pray, Lord, that every one of these sheep would be fed. I pray that the lambs would be fed. I pray, Lord, that we'd not only be fed, but we'd be challenged tonight to just be a little bit better for the cause of Christ. Lord, that we might just give it a little bit more effort and try to do a little more for You and Your glory. And I pray, dear God, that You would help me as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I'd also like for you to turn back to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Some verses there I'd like to read for you. Psalm 33 and verse number 13. If you're there, say amen. All right. Keep saying amen all through the message. All right. Verse number 13. "The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. Twice it says there, the Lord looketh. I want to preach tonight this message, God is looking. God is looking. I preached this down in Mexico. One trip we made to Mexico. And I had an interpreter down there. And so I got up and I preached this message. My interpreter, he was really good. He spoke very, very good English. And of course, very fluent Spanish. And so I'm up there preaching and I said, tonight I want to preach about this subject. And I said, God is looking. And he just stood there, didn't say a word. And then he looked at me and said, at what? I said, well, I'm coming to that. I'm coming to that in my message. I just want to remind us all tonight, God sees everything. God sees it all. The Bible says he sees the evil and the good. The wicked hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten, he hideth his face. He'll never see it. That's in Psalm 10, but he will see it. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. God sees it all. Isaiah said, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? But my friend, God sees. God sees it all. And Psalm 139 says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. God can see in the dark. The night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You know, did you ever notice these taverns, these bars, these nightclubs? They're dark. They don't want bright lights. There's some kind of mentality there. They think, in some way, I think they feel hidden because of the darkness of that place. But my friend, we've got a God, he sees right through the darkness. Jeremiah, God said, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth? He's everywhere. Some smart aleck said one time, why does there have to be just one God? And there was a little girl standing there and looked up at him like he had lost his mind and said, well, there's only one God. He's everywhere. There ain't no room for another one. Praise God, he is everywhere. Ezekiel said, in Ezekiel chapter 8, he said, son of man, he called Ezekiel that a lot, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. And yet, all the while, God was looking right at them. And he even let Ezekiel look at them. And the idol worship that was going on in Jerusalem at that time, behind closed doors, all of it secret. But God saw it all. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In Romans chapter 2, Paul talks about a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. God sees it all. I guess a lot of us remember September 11th, 2001. I don't think I'll ever forget it. What happened on that day when the towers came down. And you know what? The big question mark all over America and I guess all over the world was, who did this? Who did this? We found out who did it. And thank God we dealt with them for that. But you know, all the while that we were saying, who did this? God knew all the while. God knew all the time. And sometimes you hear about some of these criminals that are going around doing things and maybe serial killers, you know, that you hear about, and everybody's wondering, who are they? Where are they? Where will they strike next? You know, it'd be a wonderful thing if our law enforcement, those in high places, would learn how to just seek God and say, dear God, you know where they are. You know where they are. You may have heard about the Boston Strangler. years ago. I don't want to bring up any bad thoughts there, but you know that man, he was a nightmare there loose in Boston. And do you know who exposed the Boston Strangler? It was a psychic. It was a psychic named Peter Herkus that went to the authorities and said he knew who it was. And they searched it out and they found him. That's terrible. I think psychics are all of the devil. Because if it's not done in the power of Jesus Christ, if it's supernatural and it's not in the name of Christ, mark it down, it's the devil. But I still can't figure out why the devil would expose that man, but he did. Maybe I don't understand all that. But you know what? If people would just go to the Lord, if our policemen, if our FBI, if those who are looking for criminals would just go to God and have a prayer meeting. You say, oh, they'd never do that. You're right. They probably never will. But they could sure get their man, because God knows right where he is. God sees every act. He sees every crime. He sees every abortion. God sees it all. You know, it dawned on me one day. I've seen a film about it, and I've seen pictures of it. But do you ever think God sees every abortion? God witnesses every one. And all the more do I say, only by the mercy of God are we alive today as a nation. Only by the mercy of God do we have the freedom that we have. Because God sees everyone. I don't know how He can hold back His wrath and just keep from just bringing it down upon America. But thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His mercy. He sees every act of adultery and fornication. The strange woman in Proverbs 7 came in the evening in the black and dark night, but God saw it all and tells about it. And Christian, He sees your secret sin. He sees our secret sins. He sees the things that we think we have hidden away and nobody knows about it. But the Bible says in Hebrews 4, all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He sees it all. You know, He watches you, my friend, while you're watching television. While you're watching some movie that may have things in it that no Christian ought to look at. And while you're looking at your computer, you're looking at that internet. While you're watching that, there's somebody watching you. You know, a child of God should not watch anything that you would not ask Jesus to come and sit down on the couch and watch it with you. Amen. Let that soak in for a minute. We got people today watching all kinds of nudity and bad language, and they're drinking and drugs, and people sitting there, God's people, Christian people, sitting there watching that for entertainment. Well, I've done put a damper on this meeting, but I'll tell you, it's the absolute truth. God sees it. You know, pornography is rampant. Pornography is raging in this country today, and God sees it all. There's a message everybody ought to listen to. It's by a man named Rand Hummel, and it's called The Dark Side of the Internet. Everybody, you can go online and you can find that, and you ought to listen to that. He's mainly preaching it to teenagers and telling about the horrible things that are happening to young people and older people through that internet. You know, he sees a man when that man takes the second look at a woman who's not dressed right. Let me just stop there and say, I thank God for ladies who dress modest. I thank God for that. For one thing, I'm a man. I'm a red-blooded man. And I tell you, when somebody's dressed indecent, it attracts the eyes of a man. Now, if he's a godly man, he'll turn his eyes away and he won't look back. It's that second look. You can't help the first look sometimes. But it's that second look, when you look back on purpose, that's when it becomes a look of lust. And my friend, God sees that. You know, if you've got secret sin in your life tonight, I want to give you some advice that I heard my pastor, Brother Larry Brown. I haven't done bad in this meeting. I haven't quoted Brother Brown maybe two or three times. Sometimes I quote him two or three times in one message. But he just made an impact on me. But I heard him say one time, you better come to God before God has to come to you. Amen. God will give you a space to repent. And you better come to God before He has to come to you. The Bible says if we cover our sins, well, the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And Brother Brown said, if we cover our sins, God will uncover them. But if we bring our sins and uncover our sins before God and confess them, God will cover them. There's a lot of wisdom there. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. God sees everything. God sees everything. This is a funny story. Brother Brown said that one time God gave him and his family 10 acres that looked like a state park. And I mean, it wasn't just given to them on a silver platter, but it's just like God put it in their lap. They got it at a very low price. And about that time, somebody in the church died that nobody thought had any money. And turned out they were rich and left a bunch to Brother Brown and to the church. So he bought this property. Just looks like a state park. Beautiful trees, all kinds of trees all over it. And every now and then, Brother Brown would say to his wife, he'd say, now when you're mowing, they had one of these Dixie choppers. You know what that is? That thing will go 14 miles an hour cutting grass. And it's big. And he would say to his wife, now don't hit the trees. Evidently, she had hit one before. You know how women drivers are. But, boy, the ones I didn't lose a while ago, I lost them just now. But he would tell her, don't hit the trees. Well, they had a couple come over to their house one night to eat. And while they were sitting there, it was Ray Nichols and his wife. And while they were sitting there, Ray said, he looked right at Mrs. Brown and said, I saw you hit that tree. And she looked at him in amazement. And then probably glanced out of the corner of her eye at her husband. And Ray Nichols said he was a pilot. And he had a little plane. And he was flying over, maybe the day before. And he was flying over and looked down and saw her hit a tree with that. But I'm telling you, my friend, God does see everything. But thank God, He not only sees the evil, He sees the good. He sees the good. You know, we don't have to go out and blow a trumpet and try to call attention to our good works and our good deeds. The Lord said, don't do that. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the Pharisees. He said, they do good works and good deeds, and they pray to be seen of men. And He said, they have their reward. They won't get one in heaven. They've got their reward now, the praise of men, if that's what you're after. He said, don't be like them. He said, When you need something, when you do something good, He said, just do it in secret. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And He said, thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And I want to remind you tonight, child of God, He sees every sacrifice that you've ever made. He sees every tear. He hears every prayer. I mean, you get in the closet and pray, and like the Lord said, nobody on this earth hears you, but the God of heaven hears that prayer. And He hears it every time. He sees every time you hand out a gospel tract. Every time. Every time you knock on a door caring about somebody's soul, God sees that. Every time you slip a $10 bill or a $20 bill into somebody's hand and they really do need it, God sees that. He said even a cup of cold water, you'll get a reward for that. Here's what God said. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Hebrews 6:10. God won't forget. God sees it all. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, God showed Ezekiel a vision of how that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. And he saw these men coming through with weapons in their hand. You know, in his vision, he saw that. Of course, they were destroyed by the enemy, Nebuchadnezzar's army, but he, in the vision, he saw these men coming through with weapons. But God said, wait a minute. He said, I want you to go through Jerusalem and put a mark on the forehead of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in Jerusalem. Now, even men that just would sigh and cry, they couldn't do anything about all the idolatry. They couldn't do anything about all the innocent blood that was being shed. They couldn't do anything about it, but they'd get in their prayer closet, they'd get alone with God, and the tears would flow down their face as they thought about all the abominations being done. And they'd ask God to have mercy, and they would just sigh. And God said, I remember them. I know them. Put a mark on them. They'll not be destroyed when the enemy comes in. God sees the evil and the good. Now, my message tonight is God is looking. Number one, I want to say this. God is looking for somebody He can help. H-E-L-P. God's looking for somebody that He can help. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles, not 2 Corinthians. 2 Chronicles. You say, where is that? It's right after 1 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. If you're there, say amen. Wow, you're fast. All right, we'll wait on you just a second here. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Here is a wonderful verse. I sent this verse by text to a man, a pastor in Michigan, just a couple of days ago, who just told me that his wife has cancer. And she's facing cancer. And I just sent a little text to him the other day. I said, praying for healing. And I sent this verse. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. And then he said to Asa the king, herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And he said that to Asa, because Asa was facing an enemy army, but instead of calling upon God and trusting in God, he sent to the king of Syria, an idol worshiping heathen nation, and said, send your army to help me. And they did come and help. And Asa and his army were delivered there in Judah. But oh, it was the wrong thing to do. And the reason for that is 21 years earlier, another enemy had come against Judah. If you'll turn back to chapter 14 of this book in the Bible, chapter 14, a 1,000,000-man army came against Judah. 1,000,000 Ethiopians. 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 You couldn't see them in the dark when they were coming. I'm just kidding now. Have mercy on me. I'm not a racist. I'm not a racist. God knows I'm not. I thank God for them. But a 1,000,000-man army came against Judah. You know what Asa did? He didn't send for some other army. Look at verse number 11. Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with Thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against Thee. And the next verse said, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. I mean, they headed for the hills. They got out of there. Asa and his men went after them and took the spoil. What a victory it was. But what a prayer he prayed. What a prayer he prayed. Lord, help us. It's nothing with Thee, Lord. We're outnumbered. We don't need more than they have. All we need is You, Lord. You've got the power to help us, O God. And he said, Lord, let not man prevail against... Did he say us? No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, let not man prevail against us. He said, let not man prevail against Thee. He said, God, your honor is at stake. Your name is at stake. We're the people of God. And brother, that will help us when we pray for America too. To pray for His glory. Pray for His name to be honored. I say to the Lord every now and then, Lord, we used to be a Christian nation. Lord, we used to be known for our Christianity. We're not known for that anymore as a nation. But God, you could do it again. You could do it again, Lord, for Thy name's sake. That's how Daniel prayed too. What a prayer he prayed. And God sent the victory. God worked a miracle. But then 21 years later, another enemy comes. He doesn't pray that prayer. He sends for a heathen army to come. All right, praise God. We can start the service now. Praise God. Jake is here. Praise the Lord. He had school tonight. And you know, a lot of Christians, a lot of teenagers would have said, well, I don't have to go to church tonight. I got school. But there he is. God bless him. Amen. Brother, we're in 2 Chronicles. But I'm about to leave it, so no use even going there. But, you know, then God sent that prophet. And that prophet was saying, Asa, don't you know that the eyes of the Lord, think about it, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth that He might show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward you. Asa, you ought to know from 21 years ago when God won the victory, you should know that, Asa, that the eyes of God are just looking. He's just looking for somebody He can help. He'd like to show His mighty arm. He'd like to show His mighty power. And you did not call out to God. You went to that heathen nation. Now from now on, you're going to have wars. Oh, Asa turned away from God for a while there. Asa didn't like the messenger and put him in jail. Asa got a disease and he wouldn't go to God and even ask for healing. Oh, what a thing. You know, I think sometimes about older people, and I'm getting older myself. But I think sometimes, do you have the faith you had when you were young? Do you trust God like you did when you were young? Brother Don, I don't know if I do. Sometimes I don't know if I've got the faith I had when I was young. Back when in my younger days, if I was going out visiting, I didn't care what kind of dog was in that yard. I was going up to that door. And I'm just going to trust God. I thought of Daniel in the lion's den. I thought he protected Daniel. I'm on God's business. And you know what? I never did get bit. Except one time I was not on God's business. And I went up to a house and a little dog came up and bit me on the back of my leg. But on God's business, I never did get bit. But I'll tell you, there was one time I was not afraid I would be bitten. I was afraid I would be eaten. It was a St. Bernard. And I was holding a revival. I was very young, in my 20s. And I was in Missouri. And the pastor and I went out to visit this family. And boy, here came this great big old St. Bernard out. And of course, the masters were there. The owners were there. And he didn't do anything. But somewhere I heard that St. Bernards are known for kind of losing their mind as they get older, and sometimes they'll even turn on their owners. I don't know if that's true or not, but I heard it. Well, the revival went on, and these people were prospects. So one day, I went to see them by myself. And I remember they lived in a trailer, and I walked up to the trailer, and I knocked, and nobody was home. And out from around that trailer came that St. Bernard. I'm telling you, he was this big. Well, he looked that big to me. Here he came, I mean, barking his head off, growling, snarling. And I thought, oh no. And he was between me and the car. And you know what I did? I looked at that old boy and I said, Jesus! And he just stopped. And I took a few steps toward the car. And he came at me again. Rah, rah, rah. I said, Jesus! He stopped again. I took a few more steps toward the car. I made it to my car in the name of Jesus. And so help me. I don't know if I'd have that much faith today. I don't know. I'd Today, I'd probably just open the door of that trailer and just go in, whether they were home or not. I don't know. But the Lord delivered me that time for sure. God's looking for somebody He can help. Here's what Charles Spurgeon said about our unbelief. He said, "Nothing degrades us more than unbelief. Nor is there any sin over which we ought to grieve with deeper anguish of repentance than mistrust of God." Oh, it's a high crime to impute unfaithfulness to Him who cannot lie. Unbelief. My friend, there's nothing too big for God. He made the universe. There's nothing too small. He made things that man with the most powerful microscope cannot even see. God made those. God made the atom. There's nothing too complex. Just look at the human body, the brain that God has given us. I mean, all the scientists and inventors put together could not come together and make a computer that would do 1/1,000th of what our brain does. It's amazing. Think about the eye, the human eye, the greatest camera ever made, and how it functions. And yet they're telling people in these schools it's all just happened through evolution. That's an abomination. That's an abomination. What is your problem tonight? I want to read you something I got out of a book. When we were going through some really tough times in our life, my wife's got a book called Streams in the Desert. I recommend it to you. That was sure a blessing to us many times. And one thing I read in there, and I wrote it down in my Bible, by C.G. Moore, whoever that is. It's about when Jesus was standing there beside Philip, and they saw this great multitude, 5,000 plus. And Jesus said to Philip, we need to feed them. And remember, Philip said, he said to Philip, "Which shall we buy?" No, Jesus said, I've lost my place here. He saith unto Philip, "Which shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, put him to the test, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And this man wrote this. He said to prove him, "You have come face to face with a most tremendous need. And Christ stands beside you, looking at it, questioning, how are you going to meet it? He is watching you with a gentle, tender sympathy. How many of us have failed the test? We have taken out our pencil and paper and commenced to figure out the 200 penny worth of bread. Or we have run off to strong and wealthy friends. Or we have sat down in utter despondency. Should we not have turned a sunny face to Christ, saying, 'Thou hast a plan, thine is the responsibility, and thou must tell me what to do, now what art thou going to do?'" Boy, isn't that true? I mean, whatever we face, Jesus is standing right there. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's right there. And all we've got to do is just say, "Lord, look at this. I don't know what to do. What do you want? What do you want to do about this? It's your responsibility. I can't feed 5,000. Thou must tell me what to do. What are you going to do about this, Lord?" God's looking for somebody to help. Let me hasten on here, and I'm coming down. I'm circling the field, getting ready to land in just a few minutes here, but God's looking for somebody He can use. God is looking for somebody that He can use. There's so much to be done. There's so much to be done. Lost people out there need the gospel. Backsliders out there need somebody to come and touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness. Cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Somebody needs to go to them. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, backsliders out there, prodigals out there. We need to go to them. Don't wait for them to come to us. We need to go to them. We need to go to the sick and visit them. We need to visit the shut-ins. Don't forget about them. We need to go to the discouraged and encourage them. We need to go out to the children and the teenagers and reach them. And the Bible said, Jesus said, one prayer request. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest, because the harvest is great and the laborers are few. That's the one prayer request Jesus made. Pray that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. And God tonight just looking for somebody that He can use. Somebody He can use. I look at the board over there. Bus 7. Is that the best you can do? Now, evangelists, we got to make somebody mad or we haven't done our job. And we make everybody mad and then we drive home, you know. But is that the best you can do? Isn't it time we stop blaming everything on COVID and just face the problem? You know, one of our main problems is we're just plain lazy. We're just plain lazy. Another problem is our hearts have gotten so filled with the cares of this world, we don't really care about souls like we should. I'm telling you, you can do better than that. 7 people on a bus. 7 young people on a bus. They're out there. They're out there waiting. Mom and Dad don't care about them. Mom and Dad don't care where they go on Sunday. Matter of fact, sometimes they welcome a bus to come and pick them up. That gives Mom and Dad a little vacation away from the kids. They don't care. We run our buses in Iowa, and, you know, in the dead of winter, we've seen kids come out barefooted out of their houses. Parents don't even care. Come out with no coat. It may be 0. They're coming out with no coat. And so we try to get something to warm them. God's looking for somebody. Here's where this message came from. Psalm 89:20. God said, I have found David. I have found David. God was looking for somebody. And He said, I found somebody. I found David. That's where the message came from. I got to thinking, God was looking. God was looking around for somebody to be the next king. And He saw the heart of David. And remember when Samuel went to anoint the next king, he thought it was anybody but David. He saw big old tall Eliab and all these brothers of David. And he said, surely he's the one. He's the one. None of them were the one. He said, is this all you got? And Jesse said, I got one son out here watching the sheep. Go get him. And that was David. I wonder sometimes if David was a runt. I don't know. But nobody even considered him. But you know, I like what Dennis Corll said. He said, nobody wanted to fight Goliath. Nobody would fight him. But David said, I'll fight him. David went out and fought him, won the battle. Dennis Corll said, you know why? For 40 days, those Israelites had been out there looking at Goliath. And he just got bigger and bigger and bigger. But for those same 40 days, David had been out on the hillside looking at God. He'd been out there playing his harp, worshiping God. When he got to the battle, Goliath didn't look so big to him. He said, I'll go fight him. And he won. You know, God said, the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You might say, well, God can't use me. God can't use me, but God sees what you can be. God sees your potential. God sees what He can make you if you'll just surrender to Him and be a willing vessel and say, Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. Lord, I want You to use me. That's the problem. We don't have desire. We don't have the desire. We don't have that burning desire. My friend, God can use people. If we could call them back from the past and bring them up here tonight, we could bring up Moses, and God, and Moses would say, God can use somebody with a speech impediment. God can use somebody who stutters, and I know preachers who stutter, but mysteriously they don't stutter much while they're preaching. God helps them with that. We could bring David up here and say, God can use a shepherd boy that everybody else overlooks. We could bring Gideon up here, and Gideon would say, God can use a nobody. That's who I was. My family's poor in Manasseh. I'm the least in my father's house. But yet God looked at him and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. God saw what he could be. We could bring Ruth up here. And Ruth would stand here and say, God can use somebody with a bad background. Ruth was a Moabitess. I mean, they didn't even want them to come into the congregation of the Lord. Ruth came from Moab, idol worshipers, heathen people. We could bring, but you know what, Ruth? She said to Naomi, whither thou goest, I will go. Thy God will be my God. And she turned her heart to the God of heaven, and God used her in a mighty way. The great-grandmother of David. We could bring Amos up here, and Amos would say, God can use a farmer. That's all I was. He said, I was no prophet, neither the son of a prophet, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people. And we could bring Paul up here and say, you know, God can even use a man whose hands are stained with blood. Even the blood of the saints. God used me. God can use anybody, my friend. We just got to be willing. We just got to be willing. Let's bow our heads tonight.